We're Brian and Aaron, and welcome to Pop Rocket, a weekly show picking over the pop culture we all love to love.
Now, we should just remind people that this week is the Maximum Fun crossover week, and yeah. So we normally host Throwing Shade, but this week we're hosting Pop Rocket. We have big shoes to fill because those guys are brilliant. With us to talk TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining, our actor, comedian, writer, director, truly one of the funniest people, I think, in the world. Like, top 200, 300 or whatever. Drew Droege is here.
Hi.
I would say, like, top 1,000 people that have made me laugh.
Top 1,000?
Metro area.
Oh, okay.
Metro
okay,
area.
Great. And then, okay, and the metro. And the downtown metro.
Downtown like, metro.
Yeah, D.C. Okay. metro. So okay, not good. L.A.
No. Oh, okay.
D.C.
okay,
is so funny, though. You
I'm
know
gonna,
what I mean?
I'm going to go, but it was nice to be here.
Well, only to be outdone, sitting right next to a comedian, pop journalist. She's hilarious. We've seen her in a million shows at UCB.
She hosts the travel show Taste Buds.
That's right. Jessica Jardin. Jessica Jean Jardin, if we're going Triple J.
Oh, go there.
Yeah.
Now, is it the only article of clothing in your name?
Well, originally I had an extra pair of pants in there, and then we took it out.
Oh, Jessica Jean.
Extra pants.
Extra pants.
Jessica Jean jeans.
Yeah.
You've never worn a Jardin?
They're
really fun.
Is it like a pashmina?
I take mine out in March, and I put a Jardin on, and I walk around.
Your garden?
Yeah.
And I walk around my garden.
Isn't that funny?
In my Jardin.
I wear my Vanderbilts, and I wear it to opera.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever.
Sure, whatever. Great.
So if you've listened to Pop Rocket before, you know that every week we start the show by taking a question from a listener about our own pop culture tastes. I'm wearing a monocle. This week, I want you to tell me, we're going to go around the circle. Is this a circle or a square?
Where circle gets the square.
Yes.
Circle in the square, presenting fun home.
That's right.
This is thanks to Jamie Tyler and the Pop Rocket Facebook group. She,
or he.
We don't know. They,
it's just nowadays.
You gotta be
Jamie. Jamie wants to know, what piece of culture, movie, song, TV show, do you most find yourself introducing to new people?
Well, I'm going to say...
Or to people in general.
I don't know if I'm allowed to recommend... I assume I am allowed to recommend a podcast that isn't on the Maximum Fun Network, although I love all the shows on here.
Just say it.
I do.
You're cutting your leg while you're saying this.
Grimacing.
I love
God.
Them all. But I just started listening to You Must Remember This, which is a podcast all about... sort of scandals in Hollywood, and it's written, edited, and narrated by Karina Longworth. That's me. That's not me, but that's what she says. Mm-hmm. Every podcast, it drives me crazy, but I
and
love
it. And she used to write for LA Weekly.
Used to write for LA Weekly, yeah, and she's a film journalist. And I recently listened to, she did a 12-part series called Charles Manson's Hollywood that is incredible, that talks about all the players in it, what the temperature was like in Hollywood in 1969, and then how it changed.
Cooler than today.
Ew.
Right. And then changed drastically in 1970. Specifically, the thing I really loved was when they talked about all the people it affected sort of tangentially. Dennis Wilson from the Beach Boys,
sure,
who was very close to Charles Manson. In fact, Charles Manson recorded or wrote a song for the Beach Boys. And Dennis Wilson.
Which
just,
song? Do you know?
I don't. It wasn't like a
California
hit for them.
California Dreamin'?
Get Around.
No,
get
that's
around.
The Mamas and the Papas. No.
Close.
Yeah. He wrote Let's Go Surf. He wrote Surf and Safari. Uh-huh. Which you can, if you read into those lyrics.
It sounds like pure murder. Exactly. Cult behavior.
But it really talked about how Dennis Wilson's life just totally unraveled. And after Charles Manson was caught, just the paranoia that overtook him and led to the saddest death of just him drowning off a pier. He was drunk and he kept diving, trying to find a missing picture of him and his ex-wife.
Oh,
and he ultimately just didn't come back up.
That's horrible.
Air.
I never knew that. I knew that he drowned, and that I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was just diving off a pier with people watching.
And everybody was like, let him do his thing.
And all the bystanders were like, and then he just didn't come back up.
Classic New York behavior.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they also did an incredible segment on, or Karina did, on Judy Garland that really talked about sort of how Judy Garland's death was debatably the impetus or part of the impetus for Stonewall and for the riots.
Wow.
And,
yeah.
And how everyone, it was the night of her death and people were so sad and drinking and just
that was it.
Or it might have been a catalyst. She sort of debates it. But it's really cool. She talks mostly about really fascinating women.
That's how I knew about Isabella Rossellini.
She has one called Isabella Rossellini in the 90s.
That alone. That's got to be more than a 12-part series.
Yeah, so, the spectrum.
But, it's crazy that Judy Garland died at Stonewall riots and the Manson murders were all, and Woodstock were all the summer of 1969.
Isn't that insane?
So the world was just forever.
And then
different.
Here we are this year and I'm working more than ever.
I see, and I think all of that has a lot to do with
Why'd
you.
Why'd you look at Colin?
Brian, I'm really trying to be – I'm your guest, but –
Drew, what about you? What piece of culture are you finding yourself recommending?
So I saw this documentary a few weeks ago, and I've been obsessed with it, and I'm trying to tell everybody to go see it because it's crazy. It's called Finders Keepers. Have you guys heard of this thing?
No.
Okay, so it's a guy, and I knew of this going to – a guy in North Carolina gets into a plane. He's from Maiden, North Carolina, which is like 10 minutes away from where I'm from. Gets into a like amateur plane accident and loses his leg from the knee down. The hospital sends him his leg back in a trash bag. The full leg, full meat and everything. Everything.
Meat and all.
Meat and all. He embalms it like you do. And he's crazy. And he's all strung out on drugs. And he has a storage unit. And he puts his leg in his storage unit but keeps it in a gas grill, underneath the gas grill. He gets all strung out, can't pay his bills on his storage unit. This other man buys the gas grill at
because he does an auction.
They have a forced auction. So this other man buys the gas grill and opens it up and finds a leg in it and starts to become known as the leg man. And he starts charging money to people to come see the leg that's in the gas grill.
What?
And then this other guy comes back and is like, "Can I please have my leg back?" And the guy that bought it's like, "Nope, finders keepers. I bought this gas grill. I'm keeping your leg."
What?
So it's just the debate over this man's leg. And there's so much other like family drama going on in it. And it's so funny and weird. And only in the South.
I feel like even carnies are like, "That's gross."
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the descriptions of it, there's so many things in it. They're just like, "That is so horrible." But he has all this sentimental stuff.
Is there a shoe on it?
No, because I will say, I was going to say, yeah, you see it later on. You see the thing.
Do they wait? Is it a nice long reveal till you get to see
it?
I thought you were going to say, is it a nice long leg?
Nice long leg.
It's a nice, slender, shapely leg.
What are the calves like? Was it a leg that worked out?
It's got a real kicky heel on it.
Did it look like it was wearing a high heel? Like a high heel was just taken off it?
A character shoe.
Sure, sure. There's a receipt for Hamburger Mary's hanging out of it.
Wow, that sounds. Where did you see it?
At the Sundance Theater.
Oh,
I think it's. I go to classy like indie yes. art theaters, art house theaters,
Woo.
Anywhere I can have like a leg of lamb or no pun intended.
That's a good theme night.
See, I can have a leg of lamb.
Yeah.
And watch a leg documentary.
Yeah.
And put on my leg.
Well, Nat Complex, you're going to get a fish taco or a vegan hamburger.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
That complex.
You know that complex?
Oh, it's Malibu Fish Grill. And
yeah.
All
yeah, yeah.
Also, that Sundance Cinema serves double glasses of wine.
Yes.
Whoa,
so I get hammered.
Gotta go.
They serve two glasses in one glass.
Does it give you a headache? Is it good wine?
I can't imagine
it being nice wine. Like, really. Really nice.
They know you're
wine.
In the dark, not paying attention, watching
right.
something.
Yeah.
My
so.
Mom
right.
does bowl glasses.
Bowl
what?
Glasses?
Southern style wine glasses that you can almost put a whole bottle of wine in.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Sure. That's
but
fun.
She buys good wine. She just pours it all in one gulp.
I know exactly. I just had one glass.
I just had one glass of wine.
Jessica Jardin.
Yes.
What is the piece of pop culture you find yourself introducing people to?
I push a movie on people a lot called Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh. Yes. I believe the best movie ever.
It's so really good. Like a true masterpiece. A lot of people have seen it, but it surprises me how many people haven't.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was – I watched it first in college. I was a film major, not to brag. And we got to watch a lot of movies. And the story of it is also just
– Battleship Potemkin and Beyond the Valley.
Yeah, that's it. Those are my only tentpoles.
Yeah.
But it's basically – I like the backstory of it so much too, which is just basically that Russ Meyer and Roger Ebert, before he was Roger Ebert, mm-hmm. Were basically given a chunk of money from the studios who were like, try and make something young. The young movies are taking off. And they were given a chunk of money and they basically just took – a ton of drugs for a couple weeks and wrote like one of the most insane movies in the world about a group of girls who come out in a girl band to LA.
The Carrie Nation.
And by the way, the songs in it are so
amazing.
Good.
And it's great. And like the Strawberry Alarm Clock, that band shows up at a house party. And it's one of those movies that you see and instantly like 1,000 things from pop culture make sense to you. Like almost all of Austin Powers, like everything that's like all the ripoffs in the world. And you're like, oh, everything came from this.
Yeah.
And it has the most insane catchphrases. One of the my favorite is when Z-Man says, "It's my happening and it's freaking me out."
So good.
Yes.
And there's just tons of them. And it's just like, I mean, literally the costumes alone are worth watching and their hairstyles. And there's so many boobs, So many tall hairdos.
It's huge hairdos.
And it just, like, devolves into, like, utmost insanity that you can tell by the end they had just, like, really fried their brains on drugs and that they were just, like, lost in
That movie make money? Or was it, like, a cult thing then?
My understanding is it did not do well, and that was why they were not really, like... And particularly Roger Ebert's, like, I don't think that really panned out as a screenwriting.
Sorry to sound like a dummy. What is Return to the Valley of the Dolls?
I don't know what that is.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
But isn't there another one just called?
There's called Valley of the Dolls.
There's Valley of the Dolls.
Okay. Which this is disconnected.
That's why it's kind of one of those crazy things. The only similar
thing is the structure is it's like three girls who like go to be famous.
Yeah.
I mean, Valley of the Dolls makes very little sense, too. I've seen Valley of the Dolls a million times. And it just begins in New York and randomly ends up in L.A. And they never explain how they get there.
And so this movie is totally not related.
Completely different.
It's like the Troll 2 where it's none of the same people, completely disconnected, essentially.
And Valley of the Dolls is an unintentional camp. Like, they made it to be like they wanted it to win Oscars and they thought it was going to be a huge movie. And it was just crazy. But then beyond the Valley of the Dolls, they were like, let's make the craziest movie we can. And it's a totally different tone.
I have to point out
made
that
made 1969. Also,
I know. And Sharon Tate was in Valley of the Dolls.
Yes, right.
Manson City. I have to say, my favorite line from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is when Ashley St. Ives, who's like the seductress.
Yes, Ashley.
Besides the one when she's having sex in a Bentley.
A Bentley.
When she's trying
is
to
seduce
him.
Is that how she gets
fucked? Yeah, her, like, sexy voice.
It's
this
so crazy.
She talks in the clinched voice.
My favorite line is when she's seducing the like, main guy, and she goes, come into my den, said the spider, etc.
Yeah, come into my den, said the spider, etc. And she also, isn't she into, like, foot jobs?
Yes.
She's trying to, she's like.
Falling
like, jerking
feet.
Off guys
like,
with her foot?
She, no, she's like, down a foot. It's like, she's like, got a thing for feet, and some guy's like. Guys who wear sandals must not get many offers or something like that.
Isn't there
some line like that? It's so crazy.
And there's like a party. There's a house party scene that's like probably never could be topped where it's literally just the most incredible outfits and people are naked.
The strawberry love. Yeah, naked ass. Like that. Like to the beat of the drum, of the snare drum of the strawberry alarm clock. Somebody steps on an egg at one point.
Yeah.
There's a random close up of just like people squashing eggs.
Would you recommend people doing... What if they haven't seen this movie, watching it for the first time on or not on drugs?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think it's your preference. I've only seen it sober, I think.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
It can, I mean, like, it's long and weird.
Do you think it's too much if you're on drugs? You're like, I cannot handle
this. If you're on drugs, you're not gonna stay with it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you may not anyway. You know what I mean? It's one of those, like, it just gets so crazy that you really don't even need
it. Is it less crazy than Cloud Atlas?
Yes, I would say.
I don't know.
I haven't seen Cloud Atlas.
It's a lot more fun.
Okay.
I was going to say.
Way more fun.
Yeah.
Aaron, what about you?
Well, I really, honestly, this is very, very much skirting the line of pop culture, but I actually have an Instagram account that I'm really obsessed with.
Ooh, that counts.
Sure. And I showed three people at this wedding I was at last weekend. I show, anytime I'm in a new situation, I say, have you seen Brock O'Hearn's Instagram? So Brock O'Hearn is the Fabio of Instagram, essentially.
Okay.
His bio says 6'7", LA entrepreneur, Snapchat.
Oh.
That's
all you need?
Yeah. Okay. Business inquiries. Info.
And he's 6'7".
He's 6'7". He's very tall. He has long hair. And he does nothing at all. He does nothing. There's a particular picture that I like to show people at weddings or wherever I'm at. It's a picture
How
of...
How many weddings
by the way,
do you go to?
All the weddings.
Yeah.
Oh.
Always shirtless. He's ripped. He, you know, like I said, he's like the Fabio of Instagram. So he has his shirt off. He's wearing glasses that have tape in the middle. And it says, channeling my inner nerd. Can't wait to show you the projects I've been working on. Hope your day has been great. So general confusion and no information.
Right. That's the best kind.
Another, but I love a nerd that puts a tape in the glasses.
And who doesn't wear a shirt and is totally ripped.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real nerd.
Then
he's a dork, you know.
Dorkable.
Dorkable. Yeah. He also has another one where he's shirtless, duh. reading a book without any the book is blank on the outside. You don't know what he's reading. It's just a black cover. And it says, diving in, currently finishing a trilogy. There's nothing like getting lost inside a book. It doesn't say who it is. God. When you look at the picture, he's on the first page. And he says he's currently everything's
finishing
a lie.
Finishing a trilogy.
Everything's a lie. It's a lie to me. When you watch the videos, he's just like, hey, I was just thinking about all the people out there.
Was he reading Torch Song Trilogy?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Does he have a lot
trilogy
of followers?
Of terror?
He has 1.3 million followers.
Okay, so it's working.
And he's got mantras and stuff. Like,
how did you find him?
Yeah,
man?
I found him because I was looking at suggestions and I thought it was Jonathan Van Ness.
Oh my God!
Because he wears a lot of man buns.
And uh-huh. He does have that like long wavy Fabio hair.
In a half inch by half inch square, it looked like Jonathan. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I clicked on it and I went down a K-hole. I really do think it is like a bad sign that this is America's industry is that people can make money reading books but not really with their shirts off, and then they become the spokesperson for Mate Fit, which is apparently a yerba mate weight loss thing.
Ooh. Oh God,
that's less promising.
I'm interested. Yeah, though.
That sounds like the next Starbucks.
You know Fabio what I mean? Never had a weight.
Yeah, he did. Can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah.
He'd opposite.
Right.
Anyway, you
That's
can do
stupid, Brian.
I would say,
you know what he reminds me of? Have you? This is a slight digression, but did anybody follow the story last week of this couple in the Hollywood Hills, the Yotas? Y-O-T-T-A's?
No.
This is an Instagram you need to... If this is your bag, you're going to lose your
mind.
I
only like that Instagram.
Are they Fabio too?
It's a couple, and they got in a lot of trouble. They're up in the Hollywood Dell, and they basically have been renting... It's about a big development, these like four-story houses up in the hills that are throwing huge, 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 huge parties with like caged lions and like helicopters dropping people off and these insane Hollywood parties. And then they, on their driveway, on the garage door, they put a life-size mural of them, and the couple... is out of this world. It's a giant German guy, this like cartoon hunk. Like he looks like a young Arnold, and Arnold is one of his heroes. Uh-huh. And then his wife, who has like, no joke, the biggest fake boobs I've ever seen in my life, maybe. And they're just like, they look like Hollywood, too much of a caricature of Hollywood. And they have an Instagram called Yota Life, Y-O-T-T-A, because that's their last name. And it's all about basically like losing weight and getting rich. And all the photos are just like close-ups of women's butts, and then there's and like pizza slices.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Nothing That's makes any sense.
Let me tell you something. Those people for sure are friends with Brock O'Hearn,
yes.
And they're doing meet and greets at like Stagecoach or like Coachella or like Tiesto concerts. Like these people, they all network together,
and they're all getting rich. Like
they're
it's
getting
real.
Crazy, crazy rich. I would say follow him if you want to see something ironic. If you want to enjoy something on a level that's not. Genuine.
And what are the Yotas? Where do they come from? What do they do?
They're from Germany. Uh-huh. And they're very, because I got very obsessed with it. So last week, there's a lot of news stories about them because their neighbors are like desperately trying to get them to move out of this house because they keep throwing such big parties. And it's very unclear where their money came from. And wow. They basically are like, you know, investments and bodybuilding. And nobody knows. But they rent the house. But, you know, not that I could afford it. But it's...
Hashtag jail.
You?
Oh, wow. You and your hashtag.
Jail time, T-H-Y-M-E. Coming up on this week's show, we're going to be talking about what Candace Cameron Bure said on The View. We're also talking about Hillary Clinton on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
I will be discussing this weird feud between Juliana Margulies and Archie Punjabi.
I can't wait
from
to hear
Good
about
Wife.
That.
And Aaron is talking about Amber Rose's slut walk.
Ooh.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about the arts and entertainment news that have caught our attention this week.
I listen to Bullseye because each interview makes me really care about who the person is and what they're doing, and makes me want to find out more about them.
I'm Guy Branum. I'll talk to Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat and Academy Award-nominated screenwriter Ron Nyswaner on the next Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. I'm Erin Gibson with Brian Safi. We're throwing shade filling in this week in the old MaxFun switcheroo. You got to say it like a prospector or it doesn't make sense. With us in the studio, we've got Drew Jogi and Jessica Jardine, which is you are related to him.
Oh. Jandoux.
Jandoux Jardine.
Oh, I wish. Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish. My whole life would be different.
Jessica, what are you all about this week?
I am all about, on Saturday night, the appearance of one Hillary Rodham Clinton on Saturday Night Live. I feel kind of like a mom in my general, like, excitement over it, you know? Like, it just, to me, was, I was watching it live, and obviously they, like, announced she was going to be on, and it was a season premiere at SNL. And I did not expect to enjoy it as much as I did. And basically, for anyone who hasn't seen it,
yeah, tell us what
Kate McKinnon is playing Hillary, who she will clearly be playing throughout the election. And it's basically her at a bar eavesdropping on a couple like pontificating about the Republican nominees. And it's just Hillary being very bummed out and ordering another drink at the bar. And then the bartender turns around, and the big reveal is that the bartender is the actual Hillary Clinton. And it's basically just a back and forth of Hillary talking to this bartender.
Named Val.
And just Val. Lamenting, you know, a lot of the choices she's made throughout, like, her political career. And it's just, it's a lot of great nudging about, like, her position on gay marriage, her position on a lot of different things. And it's just one of those things that, like, I don't know, personally, I think they don't tend to get that right on SNL as much. And for me, it was like, it actually just was really funny. And I was so nervous for Hillary. Side note, I'm a Hillary supporter.
Sure.
And I really felt like my genuine nerves, like, don't bomb! Don't bomb!
Do you think she came out as, like, people being like, oh, she's phenomenal?
I think that even if, I think it was very likable. And the thing that surprised me the most was she, it's like one line, but she does a Donald Trump impression. That is, I, like, legit laughed out loud.
It wasn't bad. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
She calls, she says, she does a Donald Trump. Yeah, what is she?
Is he the one who's, oh, because it's like, you know, Kate McKinnon, Hillary says something about Trump, and then Val, the bartender's like, oh, is that the one who's like, you're all losers? And does it like a Trump voice, and just the idea of, like,
oh my God, that's hilarious.
Hillary doing a Trump voice was like more than my brain could handle. Right. And I'd like, it was late, I'd had wine, and I literally was like, what? Like, I screamed alone. I lost my mind. And so I just thought it was like a very cool move and really delightful. And it made me feel like, you know, it's so far out that it's not worth being super, you know, hung up and overly emotional about the election probably in the first place right now. But it just was like some hope for a little Hillary supporter like me.
Well, now, she's always been game on SNL when she's gone on there. She's always had such great energy for years when she's gone on the show.
Yeah, she and I will say, no, what were you saying? I don't want to interrupt you.
Oh, I was going to say, it was not important. It was just a logistic thing because I turned SNL on just when and right when Hillary was introducing Miley Cyrus, and I was like, what is happening? I had no idea she'd done a sketch or anything. I was just like, oh, okay. They asked Hillary Clinton to come on. In my mind, it's sad because in my mind, I was like, oh, I get it. They want her to come on and introduce somebody who's, like, in with the youth to, like, pander for vote or whatever.
Totally
they also wanted her to bring snacks and clean up after them at the
She's,
end.
Like, eating, like, rainbow Doritos.
Well, also, Daryl Hammond pops in as Bill.
Yeah.
For like a very quick cameo, which is just like very delightful and throwbacky.
Yeah. She definitely seemed like in on the joke, but and it also seemed like SNL was like, we are voting for her.
Totally.
Like it definitely
Almost
seemed like they took a
so.
Position on it.
Yeah.
Because it was crazy seeing but it was – what was the setup was kind of funny, too, when someone at another table was like, I'm so supportive of Carly Fiorina. Finally, a woman's going to be president.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then it cuts to Kate McKinnon, who's like, they don't get it. Like, they don't appreciate it, which was funny because that Hillary was kind of, for lack of a better – just intense.
Yes.
And then that Hillary – the real Hillary Clinton is Val – was funny, and I will, and I did like how they played the gay marriage thing when Val was like, oh, I love how she came out for same-sex marriage so soon. And Kate McKinnon goes, could have been sooner. And she's like, well, it was soon. And Kate McKinnon goes, it really could have been sooner. Yeah. And she was like,
which
I guess
works
it could
on
have been
so
sooner.
Many levels.
Yeah.
Of being Kate McKinnon.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if they're kind of taking a page, not that they're stealing something, but I wonder if they're taking a page out of the Key and Peele book, which it seems like they were the first people, and I could be wrong, but like they were the first people to do like an Obama impression that wasn't making fun of Obama, was actually being a mouthpiece for what Obama wishes he could say.
Mm-hmm.
And did it feel like that sketch was kind of like
a
mouthpiece-y
totally
sketch.
It definitely was supportive of her issues, and even the line about, I think they like highlight the line about how she's a grandmother first.
Yeah,
that's what Hillary keeps saying. I think because they're always so worried, which is so shitty.
Yeah,
they're always so worried about whether or not she's relatable.
And it's so misogynist too because we don't ever worry about it. Like, well, what a good husband or a father.
He's a grandfather.
But it's she's a grandmother, right. And so we need to show you that like not only she's everything.
Yeah.
For everyone. Yeah, I know.
It's like Shonda Rhimes said something recently, and I know I'm gonna botch this, but someone said like, "What's the thing you're most proud of?" And she was like, "I love my kids, but I'm not going to say my kids. Yeah. I'm really proud that I have successful shows on the air.
Yeah. I'm an enormous,
really hard for
huge Hollywood success, and it was very hard
against all odds.
Yes. Everything
And despite my kids.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was cutting you off. I think.
Oh no. Yeah. I SNL has always had that. They can make or break. I mean, people pay attention to that, especially during the election, more than anything. I mean, when they brought Sarah Palin on there, I was like, it's officially done for her because she just couldn't. She couldn't fuck, for lack of a better way of saying it. You know, she couldn't. She couldn't do it. And you're like, oh, you clearly are an idiot when you're here next to Tina Fey. Yeah. You can't do it.
Yeah, I think Hillary stepped up, and I think good for Kate McKinnon because they say that on SNL, that's what you want, is to get a political figure because that drives you through. I mean, not that she needed it. It's such a star on that show.
No, but it is. It's so steady in terms of just that face every week.
Speaking of beautiful faces,
ooh.
I keep spitting into the mic out of laughter.
Well, Amber Rose, to me, surprisingly, because I didn't know she was an activist, did a slut walk this weekend in L.A. If you don't know who Amber Rose is, and I hate to define her in these terms, but this is how you might know her. She was Kanye West's girlfriend, then Wiz Khalifa's girlfriend.
She's also a grandmother.
I thought it was a wine.
Oh, Amber Rose. Sorry.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. She was also a stripper at some point and felt the need to get involved with Slut Walk, which if you don't know what that started in Toronto.
I think it was Tehran.
It started in Toronto. Tehran.
Uh-huh.
In 2011, after a police officer publicly suggested women stop dressing like sluts if they want to be safe on campus. So then people were like, we're going to walk in the street. Ladies were like, we're going to walk in the street in our underwears and let you know that we can do this. And this is not an invitation to come have sexual, non-consensual sexual relations with us.
So just a bunch of women walking around in their slips?
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
House coats.
Oh, my God. And they're nothings. And they're nether. Yeah,
curlers and
all.
Anyway, I was at a wedding this weekend, as I mentioned a million times. I go to weddings.
How do we get it?
Spend all of my life savings on weddings.
As
a guest?
Yes.
It's expensive.
The room was $600 for the weekend.
Okay.
So... And I missed
That's
a slut.
And I never mind.
And you missed a slut walk?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, anyway, so she did a slut walk. I'm really impressed, and I'm just glad that she kind of is the head of this because I think she's surprising, and I think she's perfect for it because you want to see a woman who I think has been sexualized, whether or not she's been in control of that sexualization or not throughout her career is probably wax and wanes depending on where she's at, but for her to say, I was a stripper, I deserve to be loved, I deserve to be respected. And something really surprising that happened, which made her human. And I want to say, who's the short-haired blonde lady on Shark Tank?
Barbara Corcoran.
Barbara Corcoran. So someone tweeted at us that she had said something about women shouldn't cry. It makes you seem less powerful and you should do it in private. But
that face has never cried. It's
Barbara Corcoran.
It is the desert of disaster.
You could say that about anyone, though, man or woman. I mean, I think crying sometimes does make you seem weak. Not that that's bad, but
no. Right. But she got emotional, got tearful during the slut walk because I don't know if you know this, but Kanye West went on some show.
Oh, this is infuriating!
And said that he had to take 30 showers to basically wash off Amber Rose.
Which
is disgusting.
I should also say I feel bad all of a sudden that I said crying makes you seem weak. I didn't mean that. It makes you seem vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think
but
it's,
I don't,
yeah.
But I don't, but I think.
Brian's crying as he's saying this, by the
but
way.
But I do think it's a situation. Like, how are you, if someone said something really, really hurtful about you, like unnecessary and mean and cruel and you cry, I think that's actually powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Because rather than engage that person in some kind of fucking shitty off where you can't win, you're acting hurt and it makes the other person, it totally dismantles what the other person's you know, position, mm-hmm. anger, whatever is.
You're right.
I think crying because you don't get something, that's a different kind of crying. But
like
truthful emotion, I think, is really powerful. And she, during the slut walk.
It can be good or bad, too. I mean, it can be manipulative. I mean, because people that will cry.
But don't you know when someone's manipulating you with crying?
Absolutely. But they get the power. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm also saying people can cry and be, just theoretically, like, you know, and be like, you win.
Right.
When you cry.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to say, outside of reality shows, I've never really been in a situation where I've seen somebody cry who wasn't actually hurt.
You should teach improv.
I was about to say.
Go teach
there
improv.
Is one place
are you serious?
There is one place where Drew happens to teach that I was fully manipulated by that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But it is. It's powerful. At the end of the day, that person gets their
way. I've never seen that at UCB. Have you seen it?
No, of course you have. If you haven't, I mean, I wouldn't say it's... But, oh, absolutely people do that. I mean, it's like a thing where, I mean, I get it to a point where I'm like, don't you dare cry at me because it's not sad. It's not tear-inducing what I'm doing.
I had an ex-boyfriend who would do that to me all the time. Just like break into tears that were not real just so that a conversation would end or a new one would begin or however.
I guess there is really power in that.
There's power in it.
I'm really good at choosing who I like spend my time with.
Okay.
That's not true.
I don't know.
So anyway, my point is saying that for someone from Amber Rose's background, for her to get tearful at the slut walk and say that she forgave Kanye West for saying that he needed 30 showers and forgiving Khalifa for calling her nothing but a stripper, I think that's powerful for her to do that because it just makes her a human being and not like just some sex object, which I think would be very easy to think about her because she exists in a one-dimensional way as somebody's girlfriend or as like an FHM, you know.
And that it's been – I think it's so interesting the choice – like the kind of path she's taken with the slut walk and just her visibility in this stuff with Kanye and Khalifa because it has endeared her so much to women.
Yeah.
And that's such a strange – like she's such a beautiful, beautiful woman and the kind of woman I think who tends to elicit a lot more just like jealousy from just – you know, and if your knowledge of her is that she's famous – the partner of just famous guys and she's very pretty and wears like no clothing ever, I think it's easy to just not see her as like a human at all. Mm-hmm. And in those exchanges and then the slut walk, it surprised me just like what an interesting angle to take.
But that's
and
why
how
she's
vulnerable.
The perfect person to do it.
It's so
to head
it's,
it up.
It also is like, I don't know. I used to feel this way about, I remember I was reading Mia, this is a very different person, but Mia Farrow's autobiography a long time ago.
Oh, God.
And just people saying, I just remember like, I was reading it and... My dad was like, isn't she kind of like a space case? Isn't she kind of an airhead? She seems kind of kooky, kind of dumb. And I was like, you know, like, you really have to give credit to her that she attracted Andre Previn, Frank Sinatra, and Woody Allen.
I mean,
how dumb could she be? And also, like, same with Amber Rose. You're attracting these incredibly talented, dynamic people. Same with Courtney Love.
Yeah.
You have to give someone, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something to this person more than anyone can have sex with someone. Do you know what I mean? But like, there has to be something more to this woman, and it's such a jaded, horrible thing to say to just start calling someone names like that afterward that are so hurtful. Ugh. And you're right, there's nothing more powerful than like real emotion and a real response.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And honestly, and just being like, "Wow, that hurt," versus like, "I'm gonna come back at you with a hashtag insult because I'm better than you. I'm gonna win."
Do you get insulted a lot with hashtags?
All the time. Every time I see a hashtag, I run away and then I cry and then I win.
Yeah,
no, but no.
How do you get phone numbers?
Well, he thinks it's actually tag, so that's why he's running so hard.
I think it's tic-tac-toe.
Drew, I would love to hear your thoughts on The View this week. And
oh, my God.
The craziness
Candace Cameron. Did you call her Candace Cameron Burra?
Burris, which is Burris. Or Burra. It's her married
Isn't
name.
It Beret?
May?
I thought it was
maybe.
Candace Cameron Bure, but I thought the way you said it.
He's
maybe
a hockey
it's right.
player, right? The husband?
Yeah,
Canadian?
I think that's right.
No, I think
anyway,
Russian,
she
maybe.
Was on The View, and she basically asked Dan Pintaro, who, you know, from Who's the Boss, who was Jonathan on Who's the Boss, who came out as HIV positive and a former meth user. And she asked him if he felt responsible for contracting HIV.
Do you want me to read the actual quote?
Yes, read it.
So the thing she said was, I want to know, do you take responsibility for your actions, for being promiscuous, going into a lifestyle of having heightened sex because of the meth you were using? I want to know what the message is, because you want to be the face of HIV. What is the message? What does that mean?
This was on
The View. Candace Cameron is a new co-host.
Yeah.
Wow. She's just coming in swinging.
I know. Exactly.
Really?
And part of it is like so unfair because it's like they intentionally put her on there to be that voice of it. But like the arrogance of that statement and then choosing a lifestyle of heightened sex. It's so just like – it's just so like not even blanketed homophobia. It's just obvious.
Fear-mongering. You know?
And he's coming out like he has no – he's not trying to have a career in the industry. He's not trying to be – he's really trying to be visible. He's trying to recant for his life. He's trying to be a good person. I know him kind of very peripherally and he's a delight. And he is not somebody who's – I haven't talked to him since all of this has happened, but – it's not like he's trying to push something or get back on TV or anything other than he's like, I feel compelled to do this. And so he's going on and doing this. And then this, you know, DJ Tanner comes out and it's like, you know, Cuckoo Pants' brother or sister.
Yeah.
Same thing, whatever.
They're both
horrible people. Awful. And the fact that she would say that you're responsible for it, where it's like, you're not responsible for getting cancer. You're not responsible for, you know, it's like one of these things. It's like if you're a drug addict, that's a disease. And like, you know, you have an addictive personality, like all that stuff is.
You know what? Even if you don't believe that, even if you believe like, oh, just some people make mistakes. What is the harm in forgiving somebody?
Yes.
For maybe having some like, I don't know, self-esteem or whatever issues which they handle in a way that is not good for them.
No adult gets to talk to another adult.
No.
Also, especially you know, for like, being human because essentially what you're saying is I would love to meet one person who has never had unprotected sex.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't – anyone in the world. Aaron, you are –
Aaron has raised her hand with a lie.
Have you had
sex? Yeah, that's the better
one. Okay. Well, then.
But I have all the STDs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wait, immaculate STDs? Heard of it?
She has Munchausen by proxy. She's just affecting herself.
Yeah.
What is impressive to me – and on the flip side, sad is that like Danny Pitaro is so brave for doing this, and it is shocking that this disease has been around so long. And really, who have we had? Greg Louganis and Danny Pitaro now, who are saying anything about it.
Can I ask how he reacted?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He didn't, and then he didn't have any sort of reaction in the moment. I mean, I can't imagine that in the. He said something about – I mean, he was very
– he was just like, of course I do. He just sort of went along with it.
He kind of went along with it.
I think because –
and the thing is, it's like I can imagine that in the moment you're not armed in that way and you don't think – and you don't think about how something's worded. The other crazy thing is that no one else on the show like sort of said anything.
Raven Simone was the one sitting next to him.
Yeah.
Who – I don't know, should know better, you would think, because, I mean, she identifies as queer. I don't know if she identifies as bi or as a lesbian, but she identifies as queer for sure. And then she went on to ask him if he has unprotected sex with his husband.
What?
Which is unbelievable.
Which is so unbelievably.
That is like time machine-y. You know,
I know what I mean?
Like, the whole exchange sounds like truly of a different, like, bygone era.
Well, everyone thinks if you come on a show to talk about something that is somehow tangentially related to you fucking, that they can ask any question about that they want.
Uh-huh.
It's weird.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
No.
Like, you can't, it's not just you're not opening a door for people to be like, do you put your fingers in each other's butts? Like,
yeah, I know.
It's not important.
And then there also is just like so much wrong information about it because no one talks about it.
Because nobody talks about it and no one's – it's like what he's coming on there to talk about is the bigger picture. It's like not about him anymore. It's like he's there to say – and he did say I don't want to be the example. I want to be the lesson. Or I think he said something like that.
Yeah. Or not the role. I don't want to be the role model. I want to be the example. It was something like
that. Okay. Yeah. There you go. That's better. But like he's just trying to – be a good person and help. And that's the thing that's like so offensive about it, that this idiot who's, you know, grown up on TV sets all of her life, who has no idea what's going on in the world, is going to be that judgmental and that hateful about it. It's like crazy.
And what drives me crazy, especially about her, because I've been watching it again more recently, is like there is a – like Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I always thought, did a great job on that show of like really – I agreed with practically nothing she said, but she at least argued in a rational way and had –
was like a human.
Researched points and was a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Candace Cameron is just like, she backs down from a fight on that show like, oh, we just, I'm a Christian. I don't agree. Like, we just disagree. I'm a Christian. You're never going to win this over for me. Like, she doesn't
engage. She speaks on behalf of all Christians.
Yeah,
But it's also so condescending and so like, oh, I just don't even need to, we don't even need to finish this conversation.
Because I'm right.
We're never
going to
agree. And I'm right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I have the Bible over here. So, bye.
It's also a trap because you can't attack her because then
no, I know.
be like, they're attacking her because she's religious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she a trap queen?
Yes.
Ooh, she's real into that trap. Yeah.
She
can't
is.
Get enough trap.
I, you know, The View is, that we're really working transitions here, but The View is obviously known for, you know, very distinct personalities, sometimes making great points, sometimes making terrible ones. And it's also, people love that show of the catfighting thing and just watching women behaving badly, which is clearly a trend in scripted television, unscripted television, all across the board.
Life.
Mm. Yeah.
Sure. Improv classes.
Improv classes.
Oh, I'm like, improv classes. And, I just have all the women get up and go, just behave badly.
Fight.
Guys, take a break.
I will say before, so I'm going to talk about Julianna Margulies and Archie Punjabi, who are on The Good Wife. But it is crazy to me that, and I recently have gotten into The Good Wife and have become, like, obsessed with it.
Has anyone ever seen it? I've never watched it, but people love it.
It's on my list only because of you. Yeah,
because honestly, it's like a CBS show. And so, you know what I mean? It's not like.
I've heard it's wonderful, though.
But I love her.
They cast, like, with the exception of Julianna Margulies, everyone else is like a theater actor. Like, there's like, you know, Alan Cumming plays like this, like, thug who's like really tough and mean. And like, it's such a departure for him. Amy Sedaris, right now, that I'm watching because I'm not caught up, is like, has this great arc as a lobbyist. And like, you know, it's just these wild people coming in. And then,
that's really fun casting.
And then, what's her name? I can't believe I'm forgetting it. Josh Charles is on it. And then from Sybil and from
Christine Baranski,
of course,
is
phenomenal on it. Anyway. Okay, but what I think is so fascinating is, so in case you don't know, Julianna Margulies and Archie Punjabi, who's another star of the show, and she's also on that show, The Fall, if you've seen that, I guess have not shot any episode together for 40 episodes. And the last one they shot, which was the season 6 finale of the show, they had a scene together that they shot separately. The eyelines were all off, and like, they were just essentially each in that room talking to nobody. And Archie Punjabi wouldn't really talk about it. She was kind of cornered about it and sort of said, like, you know, it was the producer's decision to do that. And that's how we shot it and da-da-da-da-da. So I'll stop there and then tell you what happened today. But what I'm so fascinated by is people are always obsessed with women fighting and why they're fighting. Mm-hmm. Certainly on The View. Back to, like, Joan Crawford and Betty Davis.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And Linda Evans and Joan Collins.
Yeah.
And
The
play legends, the Real Housewives, and
the play vanities,
the
play Steel Magnolias.
Like, people have long been obsessed with women on most reality shows.
Yeah,
and
it's actually kind of insulting because it's like,
of course,
it's a safe fight. Like, it's not like two men where they're actually going to hurt each other,
right?
And you know what? My thing is, I think it's actually a more interesting fight, because I think what's so dynamic about it is that women use words and use smarts, and men generally, I mean, women throw punches too, I guess, but men generally don't. I will also say that I think so much of the time these are completely fabricated, because anytime I've been on a set, it's always the men who have the attitude problem and who are like behaving bad. It's always... I don't know if that's always
the creation of gossip or something.
Or just the ones who are the highest demands and like that sort of diva behavior. That's what I've always noticed in real life. And so I think it is just a weird fascination of watching two women go at it.
I think we're at like almost like a cultural tipping point of it.
Shut the fuck up.
Erin, kill you.
I love it.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
No, yay, more. I'm picking you up for another season.
I mean, here's what I'll say. I am someone who kind of almost embarrassingly really still enjoys a lot of like Real Housewives and stuff. And it is weird to me. I never thought that I could really get like out of max capacity of just like watching women scream at each other. I, for some reason, am okay watching a lot of that, or at least in the Real Housewives world. But like, I am tired. Like, and the fights themselves, especially because there's, at least in reality, there's just so many spinoffs and they're all wives. They're all different
wives.
But
also, like, you know,
sports wives.
I'm sorry,
No. And it feels just like, to me, it's crazy that you can flip through and on, you know, 10 channels in a row, watch women screaming at each other at like any time of day.
Well, also, I mean, like, I think also when you have words, like you're talking about, when it's like really clever, quippy, bitch fests. There's nothing more delicious than watching two women tear into each other.
Yeah.
And that's such a gay man's, you know,
because it's cutting.
Dream. But watching these reality shows when they're like, bitch, you ain't all that. yes, I am. I can't believe you said I'm not all that.
Right.
Well, I'm all, you know, all that. Put you on blast and all that stupid stuff. It's just dumb. And so it's not interesting.
Right.
It's like, well, this isn't.
What
this
happened today
Betty
with these guys?
Okay, so today Juliana Margulies was
broke her silence.
She broke her silence, sort of, not really. Archie Punjabi was really the one who did, but Juliana Margulies said she was at the New Yorker Film Festival and someone asked her about it. Exactly, and she said, "There's really no animosity on my part. It's a shame because I wonder if it was two men." When one finds out that he fucked his best friend's wife, which was a storyline, so that's not a personal. That'd be
it
so
sounded
crazy.
Like
so
one.
Amazing.
yeah.
Because I wonder if it was two men, so if it would casual. Get that same attention. You know what I mean? So she essentially didn't answer the question about what the problem was, because clearly, oh, and then she went on to say that Archie Punjabi had commitments to shoot The Fall. That she was in production for that, and so then that it was just a scheduling conflict, and she wasn't in New York. So that was her answer. Great, except, and she's right. Actually, there is a double standard of that probably
absolutely.
We're not hearing if Chris Noth and Josh Charles have a problem on that set.
Right.
Yeah. You
Which
know
of
what
course
I mean?
They do. I think Chris Noth is like a dirtbag.
Yeah,
he probably is. I saw him steal.
He's my
I can't
father.
Say this.
Sure,
thought one time, allegedly, I saw him steal a New York Times from a Starbucks.
No way to know. There's no way to know.
I could be wrong about that.
So then she came out and said
Archie Punjabi went on Twitter and said that she was in New York and was not shooting The Fall, and she could have been shooting. Like, she was like, she basically tweeted, that's absolutely false. After this interview with Juliana Margulies.
Reconfirming
God,
it.
I know.
And it's so sad because I'm not at the point where they haven't shot together. Their dynamic is so, so, so good. And it's such a shame that something would have led to this. However, the Slate had an interesting point where they said, like, you know, it's a shame that Juliana Margulies makes a great point and yet it's not true because it's sort of blaming us, and it is a human response to want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's not necessarily a misogynist point of view. It's just really like...
Well, especially when it has this sort of like extra added layer of like shooting scenes without each other there and like faking it and eyelines off. Like, that is just sort of like...
And then putting up a front and...
Yeah.
I know. It seems like they would just get over it and shoot scenes together and then the fight... Because that's like openly calling it out.
And right? That speaks to such a heightened hatred that you couldn't even, as a professional, highly paid actor...
I know.
Like, you couldn't do that is kind of insane, actually.
Yeah, there's no one in the world that I could not do a scene with, you know, because I'm a whore.
Can I ask
you? And I don't care. I have no soul. But I just can't imagine being like, I will never even... Like, it just seems crazy.
Is she a Bollywood actress?
Archie Punjabi, no.
Okay. I had a theory, but
But you're a racist.
Absolutely.
Well, but I was thinking, I was trying to figure out a way. I mean, to answer your question, yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I will never deny being a racist.
Uh-huh.
But if I was trying to think is if, you know, sometimes when people are like big in New York and they come to LA and they're like, oh, I can't believe people aren't taking me seriously. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that they have to like a little bit start over again.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they come off as like really arrogant and stuff because they're not being recognized at the level that they were before. I was just wondering if there's some kind of like, oh, she's this big star in India, then she comes into this other thing and she's like second fiddle to Julie. I was trying to think if there's something like that.
The only like gossip I've heard about it is that Juliana Margulies, this can't be it though, that Juliana Margulies was really upset that in their first season, Archie Punjabi won an Emmy and Juliana Margulies didn't. But that seems crazy.
And again, to not be able to work together is like, it's
you're
bananas.
Being paid a few $100,000 a week. Unless it really, I'm trying to think of the darkest shit. Like, what is the thing that
it has to be personal.
I looked at you and I was like, I can never look you in the eye and no amount of money will ever
so
make it better.
Yeah, you never know. It's so crazy.
It would have
like
to
like the Golden Girls, you know, everything came out about like how much they kind of hated each other and they had all this like rape. But like you never knew it because they all were
professional
and they were like, we're just going to do this show together. And there are people all the time that have to like do stuff. And then
yeah, it's
definitely
called regular
people that
jobs.
You go to a job.
And also just like don't make us feel stupid. Just be like, there was a problem and we couldn't work together and it's a shame. The show's so good. Hope you continue watching. watching.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Don't make me feel.
The guessing game aspect of it only serves to, like, fan the flames.
Exactly.
And, like, yeah.
So much stuff for everyone to talk about at their dinner parties this week.
Oh,
or
my
your,
God.
Or your weddings.
Or just play this at your dinner parties and eat your dinner in quiet.
Coming up, we're going to be sharing our latest jams.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists, and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods, or we talk about where to camp, or how to avoid getting eaten, or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us, because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye!
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. I'm your fill-in co-host, Brian Safi from Throwing Shade. With me is the other co-host, Aaron Gibson from Throwing Shade, and also our guests, comedian Drew Droege, who you know from the Chloe videos and the web series Not Looking, and the wonderful Jessica Jardin. Okay, so...
No job.
No time, no credits.
I
don't have to work.
She does it all.
Why would I?
So every week, as you know, on Pop Rocket, Guy asks the panel, what's your current jam? I'm going to be Guy right now, so put on your imagination glasses. Is that good?
Sure.
Okay. Put them on your ears, though, or it won't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so Brian, what's your current jam? And don't say preserves.
Well, no. Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade is my... No, although it should be. But this week, after listening to the Judy Garland, You Must Remember This, I was listening to some of her later music, and I came across a duet with her and Liza singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.
Oh, my God.
What?
You really... I don't know. I think we're probably just going to play the beginning, but it builds... to such a crazy level at the end, it's insane. So just
is there a live video of this? This would be incredible.
There might be.
See.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God! Listen to those vibratos.
Get ready for this.
That is bombastic.
Guys,
she died immediately after that.
Legitimately, I went running today for the first time in a while to that song.
You
was
it.
Running
over and over
around
again?
My neighborhood. No, I only played it, I think, like twice, but like it got by the end of it when they're building to that.
You had the whole
it, like,
world in your hand.
Isn't it crazy that it sounds like it's stereo?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's the same voice.
Yeah.
Oh, no one sings like that anymore.
Crazy.
Drew, what's your jam?
Oh my God. I've rediscovered the movie Eyes of Laura Mars with Faye Dunaway. Best movie ever.
Best dressed movie
crazy,
ever, too.
Yes, crazy, incredible. And there's the song that plays throughout it called Let's All Chant by the Michael Zager Band. And it is just everything Halston, cocaine, Faye Dunaway with a camera.
Let's hear
delightful.
It.
Delightful.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, so good.
Oh,
this right? is my this is what like, I'm running to tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's the best.
We're going out.
What a good movie. Is it?
Is
She's
it?
She's a photographer and she is. Here we go. Hold on.
Oh yeah.
Let's all chant.
Let's all chant.
It used to be so easy to just have a song.
Let's all chant.
Yeah.
Didn't Barbara Streisand have a song on this too?
She does. She sings the theme and it's so slow and awful.
So
and it's just like watching mayonnaise dry on a dock. But this song. Hope, we'll crank it up now.
Everybody, 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 everybody. Oh, you
get lost in this. So good.
Oh my God.
This is like full Kathy Hilton.
Yes.
Getting cocaine on the floor of 54.
Yes, absolutely. How amazing is that? Does that make you just so happy to hear that song?
It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to get dressed up.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah,
and go
exactly.
out.
Yeah.
Jessica?
Just lit squares.
Ooh.
What song for you?
Mine is not as much of a deep cut. You might find it on the radio. today, this second. It's a Calvin Harris song that I can't stop listening to. It's How Deep Is Your Love?
Mm-hmm.
And it is, to me, just like perfect pop, quintessential earworm. Like, it's to dance to be alone in the car to. I just can't stop listening to it.
Crank it.
Crank it. No inhibition, no fear.
How deep is your love? Oh, God.
Man,
yeah.
This is spin class special.
I mean,
yep.
This is your third day of running.
Crank it up.
Throbbing.
And you ready for a hill?
I should say I only run 4 to 5 minutes a day.
Okay, perfect.
So one song is
Who is singing? I don't actually know because I've only heard it in the car and I haven't. It hasn't.
You haven't Shazammed it?
I haven't Shazammed it. Well, I've played it on Spotify, but it only comes up as Calvin Harris. Huh. So he's hoarding all the credit.
I see.
Maybe it's him. And
it's great.
He's just doing auto tune on it.
Baby Elizabeth Aaron Gibson.
Oh, that's my full name.
Baby.
I saw this. I was dicking around on the internet and I saw this woman. Her name is Sister Rosetta Tharpe. And she
sounds
white. Love her already.
Yeah. She's very white. Yeah. She is known as the godmother of rock and roll.
Wow.
The influence influenced Elvis, Johnny Cash, Aretha Franklin. Anyway, she basically is like the funkiest religious singer ever to be in existence. So I'll say her music overall is very gospel, but even the staunchest atheist will appreciate her skills. This is a song called Strange Things Happen Every Day that I'm really into.
This is her shredding?
She shreds.
She, lovely.
Let me tell you something. If she was around in the 80s, she would be Van Halen.
Church people say they are in this holy
pipes.
Doesn't it make you want to drink a whiskey?
Yeah. Yes. It's like Flirt. Ain't Misbehaving. It feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like the Can-Can era.
When they drive them all the way.
So this is from 1944.
Like Moonshiners, Tin Pan Alley, or like the Kit Kat Club.
Or like Capitol Records.
Or like
building.
Top Gun, you know? It's like all those things.
Yeah, Belle Epoque. That was beautiful.
Yeah, she's
I love that.
Red.
I seriously love that.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really
I hope that didn't come off as like pretentious. I literally just found a video of her playing guitar at an abandoned train station that BBC did in like the 60s. And I was like, who is this? I got to know this woman.
I thought you found the tape at an abandoned train station.
I thought you were going to say that. I was like, that is a little pretentious.
Aaron, what are you doing?
I just found myself at an abandoned train station.
Okay.
You know how I just go to train stations and dig through all the old garbage?
Yeah. Well, it worked out this time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Pop Rocket, hosted by me, Brian Sophie, and
Aaron Gibson with our guests.
Drew Droege.
Oh, me, Jessica Jardin.
Where can people find you guys on the internet?
You can find Taste Buds Travel on YouTube. Just go to Taste Buds Travel on YouTube. You can watch me go to a bunch of cities and eat and drink and have a lot of fun.
Do you want followers to your Instagram or Twitter?
Oh, sure, yeah. You can find me at JJJLA. Or Taste Buds Travel. I love it all this plugin.
Very aggressive.
I didn't need... No, I want you to plug.
Brian was like, do you want followers? Or do
I don't
you
know.
No.
I don't
are
know
we just dicking around?
I did not mean it like that. Some people don't, so I didn't know. Drew?
Some people hate followers.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
Please
no,
do not
I love
follow
them.
Me.
I want them
Drew,
all.
Where can people
you can find
catch
me on Twitter at Drew Droege, DrewDroege. I'm also on Instagram, but I don't... I have... People log in as me because several people have my password.
Oh,
it's
fun.
A whole situation. But I don't, I've never posted myself as myself on Instagram, but it's Drew_Droege.
That seems like it's worth checking out. Aaron, I'm at Brian Sophie.
At Gibblertron. And then I believe that the handle for Pop Rocket is at Pop Rocket.
So
that's
cool.
Right.
Our theme music today is Party Booby Trap by Aussie Miso.
Ooh.
Thanks to him for letting us use it.
And our producer was Colin Anderson.
Thanks, Colin.
Straight from the UK.
Ooh.
Straight from the UK.
Cool.
Which is okay. Guy, Winter, Oliver, and Margaret will be back next week. And you can find our show, Throwing Shade, at MaximumFun.org. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having me on.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Listener supported.